battle is over. It's already over for my soul and many others that's here tonight. I don't know who all it's over for yet, won't, or one of these days when we all get to heaven. But there's another battle to be over too. That's the battle that we've been hearing these preachers preach about here this week, the battle of the Lord's people with the evil in the world. And that battle that was finished on Calvary delivered us from the penalty of sin. That's gone. Delivered us from the power of sin.
Amen.
Praise God one of these days from the very presence of sin.
Amen.
Wouldn't be any around. The tempter will be gone. I didn't look for the day when I realized the battle was finished for my soul. I wasn't looking for it. I was lost and liked it the way I was. And God found me and brought me. And I've loved ever since then, though.
Amen.
But I am looking for that next one.
Amen.
And that next battle is over.
Amen.
I'm looking for it. Well, I don't want to waste a lot of time, but I thank God for the services, for this church, just having it where I could come be in it. It is worth the drive. You know, you get tired driving up here and going not only here but other conferences and then thinking about the drive going back, and that sort of makes you weary even before you head back. Then you come and hear God's men preach and hear people sing that love the Lord and praise Him. And I've got to say this. I not exactly a quotation from Brother Mitchell Smith, but pretty close to it. You don't sing the gospel. See, the Bible says that when you sing, you make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and you don't have to tell Him about the gospel. It's His gospel to start with. He planned it and made it, see. He don't need to be saved. No need to preach the gospel to Him. Sing it. But you sing praises to Him.
Amen.
Because He gave us the gospel.
Amen.
But you preach the gospel to mankind.
Amen.
They're the ones that need to hear the gospel, need to be saved. You don't praise them. Singing is not to entertain. Praise God, it does entertain the soul if it's the right kind. If it entertains the flesh too much, then it's the wrong kind.
That's right.
But it's got to go deeper than that. You know, it's got to get to the heart before it gets to the foot if it does you any good. But I praise God for the wonderful singing that you've had here in this conference, the choir, and the people that are willing to put forth the extra effort to bless us with the saint. And it does bless us, folks. I'm not talking about physical, emotional entertainment, but I'm talking about something that will feed you, you know, get you ready.
Amen.
For the preaching of the Word of God. And I thank God for that. And then, of course, we certainly are thankful for the physical food. And as Brother Wilbur Johnson says, our works is evidence of our faith. And the food that you prepare, we partake of it, but we enjoy that, and it's good fellowship while we're eating and all of that.
Amen.
And we thank you, the Home Baptist Church, for this privilege. Before we preach to you tonight, a year ago we were here, and at that time we had just realized that the Lord had called us to go to Clarksville, Tennessee, and to work there. It had just been organized into a church. It had been a mission only a few months out of the Faith Missionary Baptist Church in Paducah. And they organized it, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, with 17 members on the 23rd day of December. And then in April of that year, they called me to be their pastor. And I informed them after a few days that I didn't feel like the Lord was in me coming. They called me back and said, well, we believe He is, and we just leave it that way. You know, and we're just going to leave it that way. And I said, well, I'm not going to consider it anymore, but you don't have any choice. You know, and they said, we just leave it that way. Of course, I think there was a few other people sort of urging them too, maybe, but I don't know. But anyhow, we did finally come to the realization that that's what the Lord did want us to do. And we left and moved to Clarksville, Tennessee, and officially became their pastor the 1st of May in 1987. And the 1st of next month, the Lord willing, we will have been there a year. And God has blessed us far beyond our expectations. I used to, after I knew the Lord wanted us to go, I'd lay in the bed at night and just think about, you know, maybe what the Lord would do for us there. And he's, maybe you say, well, maybe you didn't expect enough. I don't suppose I did. But I tell you, we've received far more than we ever expected. And even in the 12 months that we've been there, I could honestly and truthfully say that I could thank the Lord for just those 12 months. A few days ago, a daughter of one of our members visited our church, and she left and she told her mother, she said, I believe Brother Garner Smith is the happiest preacher that I've ever seen. I can't say for sure about that because I don't know just how happy anybody else is, but I am just about as happy as I can be. I'm happy than I've ever been. No reflection on anyone. I just am. I know for sure where the Lord wants me. But the group of people that I love and they love me and love each other. And about 3 weeks ago, we baptized our 42nd member into our church. The contractor that built our church, he and all of his family are now members of our church. We baptized his son, a student, University of Tennessee, while some was taking a spring break down on the beaches of Florida. He came and took a spiritual break at our church and realized that he needed to be scripturally baptized and became a member of our church, and we baptized him. Not only that, but the fellow that put the roof on, the Lord saved him and his family are members of our church. And God's blessed us in so many ways. But just one way I'd like to tell you about. When our church first started as a mission, of course, Brother Eugene Clark was a pastor of the Faith Baptist Church and organized the mission. But a gentleman in the church by the name of Brother Paul Patterson, he's 76 years old. And at the very beginning, they found out he had cancer of the colon. They did surgery on him. And they thought then they would have to put a colostomy on him, but God bless, and they didn't have to. A few months after that, he began to have problems again, and they went in and did a lot of tests and finally did exploratory surgery to find out what was wrong, and they found a tumor, a rather large tumor, in his back next to his kidneys, which was inoperable. It would cause a lot of complications, and they said it was just inoperable. So they sewed him back up and did some, I forget for sure whether it's cobalt or radium, but one of the other, those kind of treatments, telling him that they had the reason to believe that it at least would stop the pain. About 2 weeks ago, Brother Clyde Hancock was with us in a meeting there at our church, and on Tuesday night, Brother Patterson began to have severe stomach pains and all around his waist, and finally had to carry him to the emergency room Wednesday morning. It was Tuesday night that he got hurt, Wednesday morning. And they ran x-rays and sonographs, and they told him that he had a blockage in his upper intestines, which they were sure was either another tumor or was caused from the one that he already had. And the x-rays and sonograph and all showed this. And they were going to do surgery the next day. And our church, of course, we believe in praying, but sometimes we find that the Lord especially burdens us, you know, just in a special way. You know what I'm talking about. You know, we just feel not just generally praying, but definitely praying for something specific. So our church that night did pray that God would bless and Brother Patterson's surgery. So the next morning, before they did surgery, they took a scope and they examined the inside of his intestines, and all the blockage and everything was gone. Wasn't anything there at all. All gone. Completely gone. Nothing. Absolutely nothing there. They ran tests on the tumor that was there, and the doctor, the surgeon, told him, said, you're one of the ones that's blessed, and your cancer's gone into remission. Stop growing. They ran bone tests and blood tests, and they said, we can't tell you what'll happen. Well, it'll, you know, go away or it may start back, but as of now, it's in remission. And what they found out was he had a very bad gallbladder. And they took his gallbladder out, and he was at church Sunday morning. But one of the things I want to tell you, two of his doctors, the surgeon It's cancer doctor Christians. I mean, they're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. His medical doctor is a Jew, Brother Clark's wife's doctor also. And he told them, after the sonograph and the x-ray showed up this blockage, whatever it was, and then the scope didn't show up, he said, "I just don't understand. I can't figure it out." And one of the doctors, Dr. Sadler, that did the actual surgery, told us that, well, the trouble is with you, the reason you don't understand and we do is because you don't know our Lord. So he doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we had prayed and others had prayed. And I believe, you believe what you want to, but I believe God had this already planned. We didn't change God's mind. But God burdened us to pray. And we didn't change God, but I'll tell you, it sure did change a bunch of people at a Baptist church.
Amen.
So we're thankful for that. We could tell you a lot of other things, but God's blessed us. We have a new building. We're in it and having a good time serving the Lord. If you're ever around Clarksville, Tennessee, contact us and come be with us. We'd love to have you. If you will, turn with us tonight to the book of Isaiah. We had another message, and we thought we were going to preach, but I wasn't real sure about it, and I kept waiting to be sure. And I did. Last night, I said something, I believe it was last night, to Brother Mark, asking was he going to sing that song, because I do love the song. I'm honest with you, I love to hear it. And he said, well, he didn't know something, and he didn't tell me for sure he was going to sing it, but anyhow, he did. And while I was sitting there praying and asking the Lord to make me sure and give me liberty on my message, when he sung that song, I knew what I was supposed to preach. I really did. You can call it coincidence, whatever you want to. It doesn't make any difference, but it makes a lot of difference with me. I want to tell you this, though. I believe it was last night when Brother Mark got up to preach. The older I get, the more emotionally excited I get. The closer I am to home. Somebody said we are aiding a stranger here, and that's right. I'm looking for another city. I'm not looking for Clarksville or Detroit or anything. I'm looking for another city. Not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And I get excited about things. I really do. The older I get, the more excited I get. I'm getting closer, you know. So when Brother Mark came to sing, she thought maybe maybe he's going to sing my song or something. I don't know. But she told me, she said, try to stay settled down where we can hear the song. So I did try to act reasonably well when these songs are sung. But I enjoy them, folks. I really am. I'm a holy roller Baptist. I believe in holiness, and I believe in getting out and rolling, going too. So I guess that's what you call a missionary Baptist, isn't it? All right. Isaiah 44, verse 1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee. From the womb which will help thee, fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon dry ground. And I will pour my spirit upon my seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Then in verse 24, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad. And I like that, you know.
Yeah.
He's talking about, so thus says the Lord, talking about his word as the Redeemer and Creator. And he said, that frustrateth the token of the lies. You know, the false teachers that are preaching lies for the truth get all frustrated. And man, they have ulcers and get all mixed up and confused, and God said they would. Not only that, but he said, and maketh diviners mad. Of course, you'd almost have to be mad to be a diviner to start with, you know, witchcraft and all of that. And said, and turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish. But listen to this. That confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited into the cities of Judah, ye shall be built, and I will raise up decayed places thereof. And then in Isaiah 55, if you will, and for time's sake, I'll just read verse 11 here in Isaiah 55. And you're familiar with these preceding verses, I know. But listen to what he says here. So shall my word be, just like when the snow and the rain falls and doesn't return void. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Just as the rain waters the earth and germinates the seed as God sends it, so also will God's word, when it goes forth from him, also germinate and bring forth life.
Amen.
It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now in the first chapter of Isaiah, not a scripture, but you'll understand in just a moment. Isaiah verse 18, 19, and 20. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now my subject tonight is the Bible and Baptists. The Bible and Baptists. Or you might use the expression that we read there four times in our first reading in Isaiah 44, thus saith the Lord. You used to hear that expression quite often, not near so much anymore. Thus saith the Lord. The truth that's brought out and made known in these scriptures that we read brings out the fact that God has spoken and God has sent forth a message to man. Now, I'm a literalist. I don't believe in interpreting the scriptures. I believe in accepting them literally. I really mean that. Somebody said a literal interpretation. There is no such person. If it's an interpretation, it's not literal. It's an interpretation. I do not believe you have to be a doctor of divinity.
Amen.
And I have 28 hours of Greek and 18 hours of Hebrew, but you do not have to be a Hebrew or a Greek scholar to hear and to know God's message.
Amen.
You can laugh and make fun if you want to, but I believe we've got just exactly what God wants us to have.
Amen.
I'm astonished at people that believe that God would preserve His Word and preserve His church and then get up and tell us today that we don't have a true Word of God. They say that King James is the best, but it's not the true Word of God. Let me tell you something. And I'm not going to debate this, but if the King James Version is not the Word of God, we don't have the Word of God, folks.
Amen.
We don't. But I want to tell you, there is no other translation any better if it's good as the King James.
Amen.
That's right. We could argue on that. I don't want to, but I just want you to understand I am a literalist. I take the Bible. If it's symbolic or it's typical, you won't have the trouble seeing that. Take it literally like it says, and it'll show you if it's typical or symbolic.
Amen.
I don't have any problem with that. Never have.
Amen.
I do not believe in allegorizing the scripture or speaking, using the scriptures metaphorically all the time. There are scriptures that are metaphorical, but they tell you if they are. If it's an allegory, it'll tell you if it is. If it's symbolical, it'll tell you if it is. But I do not believe in spiritualizing the literal Word of God. I'm a literalist. This message that God's given us then is one that we can hear. A wayfaring man, the old fool, need not hear therein. Folks, God knew who He's speaking to, and He didn't have any trouble giving him a word or a message that those people He was speaking to could hear and understand. And so I believe we've got just what we need today here. You say, what about the Spanish? Well, they got what God wants them to have. I believe that. If you believe in a sovereign God, you either believe that or God's made a big mess, one of the two. It's a message that's sure and certain, and it shall not fail nor return void, regardless of how individuals respond to it. It shall accomplish what God sent it to do. God's true call preachers proclaims God's message, and they do it with fear and trembling, recognizing that it is the message of Almighty God. And as His ambassadors representing Him, we dare not stop short of that message or that commission that our King has given us, nor do we dare go beyond that commission. We do believe in a thus saith the Lord. It is the word of the Creator, the power that's behind this universe that we heard about that created this world and regenerated His fallen creatures. It's the majestic word of the potentate of this world and the King of kings and Lord of lords. And it's to our prophet that we would stop and listen and reverence and heed such a message tonight. We should stop and listen because of the urgency of this message tonight. My friends, this message has to do and is involved with the immortal souls of mankind.
Amen.
You say, well, I believe the destiny all of souls is in the hands of God. I do too. But I'll tell you one thing. Revelation says that old Mystery Babylon the whore made merchandise of souls. And folks, we're involved with souls today too. And that's what God's Word's all about. We should recognize and reverence the Word of God because God never speaks anything that's not necessary. God doesn't waste time. God doesn't waste anything. Thus saith the Lord is the Baptist motto. It's been the real Baptist war cry. It's been our standard in this evil world and the opposition that we face all down through the centuries since the Lord started His first church, which was a Baptist church. And folks, that's been our battle cry. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Bible and the Baptists. Why do Baptists hold to a thus saith the Lord and make it of such great importance? First of all, it's the only guaranteed effective message that God's people have today. I want to tell you, it's the only sure guarantee there is in this world is God's message today, folks. Nothing else is sure. Remember two Jews, and I'm not making fun of Jews, but two Jews in Clarksville years ago, Clarksville, Tennessee. And they sold sewing machines, and this fellow wanted to buy it, and it was two brothers, I believe it was, two Jews anyhow. And this fellow asked the Jew, was telling him, said, I want to know, is there a guarantee on this machine? And he looked back at the other and talked to him a few minutes, said, is there a guarantee? He said, sure, guaranteed. Our guarantee is no good anyhow. And that's the way with any of our guarantees today, folks. But this is one sure guarantee, God's message. You preach it today, and it'll be the same 10 million years from now. As Brother Jones said, or Brother Mitchell Smith or somebody, what was preached 6,000 years ago is still true today. It's forever settled in heaven, and nothing can ever change. It's the only sure effective message that we've got. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 tells us about this. And I know you're familiar with these scriptures, but at least most of you, maybe some of you are not. But 2 Timothy 4, and 1, Paul said to this Baptist preacher, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead in his kingdom, appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Now notice, I said it's the only sure, effective means today we have of getting across God's plan and message is his word. Now listen, here it is. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And folks, if we don't have that, we don't have anything to reprove or rebuke or exhort with. God of thus saith the Lord. Many laugh and mock us Baptists for requiring of thus saith the Lord. Sometimes we'll say, give us chapter and verse. And we'll mock and make fun of that. But I want to tell you, as we said, the true servant of God dare not stop short nor go beyond God's message. If you don't know the truth of that, you ask old, I can't remember. There's two sons of Aaron in Leviticus chapter 10, Dathan and with a strange fire, going beyond the word of God.
Amen.
Folks, we've got a lot of it today. There's a lot of strange fire, and many of us coming short of it. But the preacher of God cannot rely on any other authority than the word of God. We cannot rely on the visions or the dreams of some other person. We cannot rely on some religious experience. Folks, there is no new light. God created light in Genesis chapter 1. And that's the only light we've ever had. And the only light we ever will have. And we have it in the word of God. And there is no new light beside that.
Amen.
I believe in an inspired, inerrant, plenary word of God. Verbally inspired, mind you. I want to tell you, you go short of or beyond the word of God, and one man's opinion is as good as another. Whether they're lost or saved. The message of Baptist churches and Baptist preachers are not founded upon the tradition or teaching of others. We have no authority to base our message on other than the word of God, and thus saith the Lord. No guarantee separate and apart from that. Another reason we see it of such importance and reverence it so is that the writers of Scripture always authenticated their message with the thus saith the Lord. Let me show you what I'm talking about in Galatians chapter 1. Listen to what Paul said here in his writings. Galatians chapter 1 verse 11. He said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Isaiah said the same thing. Look with me over in Isaiah 20. And I'll tell you, brethren, you better use this today too. Listen to what it says in Isaiah, if you will. Excuse me, I've got it's chapter 8 and verse 20. Instead of thinking 20 and verse 8, but it's Isaiah 8 and 20, what I'm looking for. Let's read verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, unto wizards and that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Now notice, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. Didn't say there's a little light, because there's no light.
Amen.
Folks, I want to tell you, if they don't speak according to this word, you can't trust anything to say.
Amen.
When Jimmy Swaggart said that he despised and that the doctrine of preservation and perseverance was the doctrine of the devil, because I already knew he's an imposter to start with.
When he started all that muttering up there, he called tongues. And that's not tongues, what he does. And a lot of those other fellows, James Robinson, is muttering and peeping as far as I'm concerned. It is. If it's real to them, folks, it's exactly what they're talking about. It comes from the devil if they're really doing it. Most of it's just a bunch of made-up stuff they do. But when he denied and he said that one of the doctrines of the Word of God was a doctrine of Satan, it was testimony beyond any shadow of a doubt that there was no light in it.
Amen.
Baptists stick to thus saith the Lord because it's the only authority we have for our faith and practice.
Amen.
Exodus chapter 25, verse 40, 26, verse 30, God said, Moses, you build it according to the pattern.
Amen.
That's from heaven. Not one that blueprint somebody else drawed up, but the one God had in heaven. Amen. Baptists stick to that today. True Baptists still stick to that authority for their rule of faith and practice. I'm talking about the Word of God. That is our authority. And the only authority we've got. The church in Brother Mitchell Smith's town, a few years ago, they got him a new preacher. The preacher before that taught him that the women were to keep silent in church. This new preacher come along, it's a Baptist church too. New preacher come along and he told them the women ought to speak. And they said, well, the pastor we had here said that the women should keep silent. What are we going to do? He said, you wait till I call the Baptist Sunday School Board tomorrow and I'll let you know the next day. We don't have to call the association, the convention, Sunday School Board, anybody else as to what we practice in our churches. The Lord's true churches do not receive their authority from the church fathers. As much as you may admire Spurgeon, John Gill, J.R. Graves, and many others, J.M. Pendleton, as much as you may admire our faith, the authority for our faith and our practice does not come from them.
Amen.
Amen. Had a fellow a few years ago. We refused to fellowship with him anymore because he had a preacher that got up and preached that if you believe the gospel didn't make any difference, what church you belong to, you's all right. Henry Mahan's who said it. I was there. After it was over with, I asked the pastor, I said, do you believe that? He said, yeah. I said, I can't fellowship with you to church anymore.
Amen.
A few days he came over to my house and he said, can you fellowship with Spurgeon? I said, it depends on the extent of fellowship. I can fellowship with anybody to the extent we agree on. That's as far as it goes. I can fellowship with a lost person to the extent we agree on. You know, if you want to get out and play a game of golf, I couldn't do that because I can't play golf. But if you want a bird or a fish, I could do it. But I'm talking about fellowshipping with him as a church. And listen to what I'm fixing to say. I want you to understand. I'm not criticizing these men. Some of them indeed were what you might refer to as great theologians. J.R. Graves was a great Baptist. No doubt about that. And fought a good fight. No doubt he done that. But the reason he fought the fight was not because he was the father of our faith, but he was of the faith of our father.
Amen.
True church of the Lord Jesus Christ asks only one question. Is there a thus saith the Lord?
Amen. That's right, brother. Amen.
Listen, folks, Baptists are not separate and different from others just to be different.
Right.
They're not. Man, there's been times, as Brother Jones will be talking about sprinkling, there have been times. I don't remember, honestly, I'm not kidding you. This is honest truth, folks. It really happened. Ladies, Brother Jones, somebody talking about, like Brother Randy Titus, give in and sprinkle somebody. At a lady that was a member of my church and her son was a member of my church. Her husband was lost. Brother Hancock came, we went and visited him and he was saved. Brother Hancock, remember, he was a drunk. And he had cancer and they had to take this part of his face off, his eye out, part of the roof of his mouth. And if we had to put him in water, he was scared that he'd get strangled in that water after he was saved. He wanted to be baptized. I explained to him he didn't have to be baptized to be saved, but he wanted to be in the Lord's church. The way in it was through baptism. He couldn't get in without baptism. He wanted to be baptized. He went to the hospital, and I told him. I said, Brother Mac, we can baptize you. We can work it out. If you want to be, we can do it some kind of way. And I believe we could. He went to the hospital. God was unable to come out. And his wife, a member of our church, and son, family, called me and wanted to know if we'd come to the hospital and sprinkle him. And I told him I couldn't do it. And you know those people got mad at me. And the brother-in-law to this man went and tried to talk to his sister and his nephew, the son and wife of the man that was being, that died as a matter of fact right after that, tried to explain to them why we couldn't spank them. They never did understand that, folks. And I would like to have done it physically. I really would. Probably got 4 or 5 more members if I would have. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. So we're not different just to be different. Somebody said, well, us Baptists are different. You Baptists different because you have freedom of religion. But you're wrong. We're not different just because we're free to be different. That's no reason to be different. Somebody said, I'm not going to do that. The Catholics do it. Well, if it happened to be right, y'all do it anyhow. Even the Catholics do it. Somebody said, well, our mold and all of baptism, the way we baptize and why we baptize, is what makes us different. But you're wrong. That's not what makes us different. Doesn't go far enough. Somebody said, well, you're different because you believe in close communion. That's not what makes us different. You know, John Calvin, Martin Luther said and declared that immersion was the right mode of baptism. They agreed with us on that. But the difference in John Calvin, Martin Luther, and others that makes us different from them is they believe they had the liberty to change the Word of God and do that which is convenient. Folks, what makes Baptists different tonight is not their baptism, not the Lord's Supper. What makes them different tonight is we do not believe we have any liberty or any right to do anything with what the Bible says. We must have it, thus saith the Lord. The thing that separates Baptists is that we stick to the Word of God. Psalms 119, 104, David said, by thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, having understanding is what he's talking about from the Word of God. Therefore, I hate every false way. Amen. You know, a lot of people don't understand that. Brother Jones is up here talking about hating sin. People don't understand that. But I want to tell you, folks, if you believe the Word of God and you learn it and God shows you the awful terribleness of sin and what it does, you will hate it. Amen. And somebody said you shouldn't talk about other religions. But I want to tell you, folks, they're destroying men and women today. Not only are the souls of people going to hell, of course God's going to save his people, but as a result of the false doctrine and false teaching that's being taught even in Baptist churches, the lives of many Baptists are being destroyed.
Amen.
Our message and our methods must be based on thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
If it's in the Bible, do it. If it's not, don't. Somebody said, well, you get it pretty narrow, but I'll tell you what, you won't ever go wrong. You won't ever go wrong. We hold the Word of God in great reverence because it is the only means of correcting, admonishing, and teaching the saints of God. The only means we've got. As Brother Jones says, I don't care if it's J. Adams or Dobson or whoever else it is, folks. The only one that can teach you how to operate and live and function as a child of God is the Word of God.
Amen.
Somebody said John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth.
Amen.
It's the Word of God that washes and cleanses us. And if you're one of the children of God, you hear the word of God, you follow it, and as Brother Mitchell Smith said, you get more lacking all the time. And that's sanctification. And that's what we're to do for the saints of God, is to teach them the word of God, and they become more and more like Him, and finally become conformed to His image. Thus saith the Lord. Word of God is what is used to rebuke Eli. You remember how he let his sons get by with sin? But they tell us today, you do that and you'll warp their personality. I tell you what, if you, and I don't mean to be vulgar about this, but you'll warp a certain portion of their body while they're growing up, their personality won't be warped. The reason the personality gets warped is because you don't warp the other part of their body. That's the truth. Old Solomon, the wisest man other than Jesus Christ, said, spare the rod and spoil the child. And you spare it and you'll absolutely spoil him. I guarantee you will. Word of God. And God told Eli by the word of God what was going to happen. Not only that, but I tell you, it was the word of God that old Nathan took and melted the heart of David, an adulteress and a murderer and a liar. And when old Nathan said, thou art the man, and David's heart melted. And we have the testimony of that in the Psalms. And I tell you, God's word today will still melt the heart of one of His saints. I don't care how far away they may get from God. You just keep preaching the word of God. Somebody said, well, you shouldn't be so hard on them. Don't practice church discipline. You'll drive them away. Run them away. You can't run them away. They're already away. Already away. Just keep putting the word of God to them. And I'll tell you what, if they're a child of God, it'll melt their hearts. You remember old Peter when the cock crowed and he remembered the word of God and he said he went out and wept bitterly. The only thing that'll melt an old hardened heart of a sinner or a child of God is the word of God.
Amen.
It's the only sure comfort and security for God's people. Look with me in 1 Kings chapter 8, if you will. We're going to close in just a minute. 1 Kings chapter 8. Listen to what the scripture says here in verse 56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. Now notice, there hath not failed one word. Now notice that. You know about verbal inspiration. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant, or any other servant. We read a while ago where he said he confirmed the word of his servant. Folks, without the thus saith the Lord, there is no security for us or anyone else. Psalms 19:8 tells us it's what furnishes the light to bring us out of darkness. Deuteronomy 8:3 tells us that it provides the food for a hungry soul. Jeremiah 15:16 tells us that it gives joy and rejoicing to those that are in sorrow and trouble. It's the only weapon we have to fight the enemy in this present evil world. It was the weapon that Moses used against Pharaoh. Jeremiah 5:14 says it's a devouring fire. Jeremiah 23:29 says it's a crushing hammer. Hebrews 4:12 says it's a probing scalpel to go into to bring out the innermost recesses of our heart and divide it. The word of God is the power of the king's mouth. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4 says where the word of the king goes forth, there's great power. And I want to tell you, if there's power, great power in the mouth of a king of this world, how much more power there is in the mouth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
It is power to create worlds. Psalm 33:6 said his word created. It's power to produce light in total darkness, as Brother Hancock told us the other night in Genesis 1:3. Hebrews 1:3 says the word of God is that which upholds and rules all things. Isaiah 45:19 says that the gods of this world cannot save, but the word of this God tonight can save. Isaiah 59 and 1 said that his hand is not shortened, that he cannot save, because he can save. It's the power to save, Romans 1 16. It's the power to destroy, the power to sustain us in our spiritual life. To despise, thus saith the Lord, and some despise it today. Had a fellow to call me the other night. Oh no. I forget exactly how he worded it, but what we went by as a church is, what do you believe, you know, about your constitution and bylaws? And we have some wrote up simply because the state requires it where we are, or you cannot be considered a church. But it's plainly stated in our bylaws that there's nothing man written that is our rule of faith and practice, that only the Word of God, only the Word of God is our rule of faith and practice. And I told him, I said, we have bylaws simply stating in general terms what we believe. But what we go by and what guides us in our practice is the Word of God. He said, do you stick pretty close? I said, we stick exactly to the Word of God.
Amen.
Exactly. And some people said, well, y'all are too strict. Are you operating by the Bible? If you think it's too strict, then you despise, thus saith the Lord.
Right. Amen,
when a preacher gets up, preaches the Word of God, and you don't like it, you despise the Word of God. I tell you what, it's a serious thing, a serious penalty. You remember in 1 Samuel 15, when Saul failed to do what God told him to through Samuel the prophet, you know, slaying Agag, and he told him to destroy it all, the animals and everything, and he didn't do it. And Samuel said, because you rejected God's message, I've rejected you. And no longer could he pray and get God's will for his life. I believe that's what's happened to a lot of Baptist folks. I really do.
Amen.
People don't, if I just knew the will of God for my life. And I'll tell you, you'll never know it till you believe what this book says. That's the only way you'll ever find it out.
Amen.
God's not going to speak to you in a vision or an airplane leaving a train out behind it. God speaks through his word.
Amen.
Brother Jones told us tonight the penalty for a church that forsakes. Thus saith the Lord. He removed the candlestick. I believe this happened to a lot of Baptist churches.
Amen.
Without it, thus saith the Lord, the hope of heaven is worthless. All promises for the future are hinged upon. I don't care what it is, the smallest detail of it, folks, then you have no hope of any of it. Those people that reject any part of it, any of it, I don't care if it is where Jesus said through John that he that say hath not sinned is a liar, and the truth is not in any part you want to reject of it, any of it, then all of it becomes of no use to you. If you can't believe all of it, you can't believe any of it. Not philosophy, not tradition, not visions, not religion, not ideas, but thus saith the Lord. The thing that we need in Baptist church today more than anything else is get back to thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Somebody said, what should we do? It's so easy. What does the Bible say?
Amen.
And anything a Baptist church ought to do, this Bible will tell you. It will.
Amen.
You know, if we call it the Acts of the Apostles, it ought to be Acts of the New Testament church.
Amen.
It'll tell you what to do. You abide by God's word and you'll never go wrong. You go beyond it, you'll be wrong. You come short of it. May God help us.
Amen.
To reverence, to read, to study, and to heed the word of God. Thank you.